They're admitted one very curious thing about students, and this is also true of J Exchange visitors. Students are admitted for duration of status. That means, which Trump famously tried to take away but failed miserably, that means that the student's I-94 has no expiration date. Why is that important? It means that even if a student finishes school or falls out of status, they never accrue unlawful presence unless an immigration judge or a USCIS officer makes a written finding that the person, the student, has violated status. In that situation, they become 222G, and they start accruing unlawful presence. And for those of you who don't know what T22G is, that's the provision in the law where if a person status expires, their visa is automatically revoked. They can only go for future visas to their home consulate, and they start accruing unlawful presence. So, just important to notice and to note, many immigration practitioners believe that if a student falls out of status, that is, they work illegally or they stop going to school, for example, their visa is automatically revoked. Absolutely, positively not. The visa is not revoked until there's a written finding by an immigration judge or a USCIS officer that they violated status. So get that straight in your brain. Don't ever think the visa is revoked by a violation of status. It is not. And that's really important because I'm going to talk in a minute about how you get back to student status if you violated status. And
could
it's really important.
Could I add just one point?
Sure, go ahead.
So you probably have been dealing with students coming over or visitors coming over trying to change status from visitors to an F1, and there was a requirement to continue extending their non-immigrant tourist status by bridging, by basically filing an I-539, and you could have done it two or three times because you had to get to certain period when the I-20 was issued and when the program began, and all that practice basically ended. So you basically, if you are within 30 days of the start of the academic program, you just file one change of status from B2 to F1, and then you just wait. You may have to work with the DSO to defer the starting date, so they may have to reissue I-20 a few times. There are some schools that absolutely hate it, and they will not want to work with you if you want to change from B to F1.
Right. One note, one very important note you should notice about change of status for students when you're approached by a B that wants to change status to student in the United States, a couple of important notes. One is preconceived intent is a big, big issue. If that person had contact with the school before they arrived in the U.S. or has any document related to this admission within 90 days of their arrival in the U.S., you got a big preconceived intent problem, and the kid needs to go home and get his visa back home. The other problem is it takes about a year to change status. The person cannot attend school during that time. Bs cannot attend school. So they're stuck not attending school, no work authorization, no permission to work on campus. So change of status often, I'd say about 80% of the time, is a bad, bad, bad idea. The kids should go home, get their visa, and come back. That having been said, if the person is from a high-risk country, if they're from a country in conflict, like the Venezuela, for example, or someplace like that, and they're unlikely to get a student visa because of 214B, then your advice might change. But generally, change of status is a terrible idea. And kids don't realize, oh, the other problem with change of status is the person becomes a prisoner of the United States if they do that. They can never travel abroad, basically, till they get their green card. Why? Consuls hate it when they come as Bs to the U.S. and change status to F. They immediately and always assume the person lied when they got the B visa. So be aware of that. Okay, so what does maintenance of status require? What maintaining student status, what does that require? Full-time school attendance. For an undergrad, that's 12 credit hours per semester or quarter. For graduate students, generally it's whatever the graduate program defines it as, but it's generally 9 credit hours. Transfers from school to school have to be lawful. I can't tell you how many students contact me and say, I started high school in Dripping Springs, Texas, and now I'm in Colorado. My high school never transferred my record. You know, and they're totally screwed. No unauthorized employment. Unauthorized employment is the third rail of status. If you engage in unauthorized employment, you can't be reinstated to student status generally. And so it's bad, bad, bad. And that includes the most common one, driving for Uber, folks. No activity that would render the person removable. I've never seen this in practice, but it happens. In other words, they're convicted of certain types of removable offenses, and that puts them out of status. Visa revocation by the Department of State. We've seen this very frequently recently with regard to drug and alcohol offenses, and it happens just upon the person's arrest. No conviction needed. Visa revocation from the Department of State. They'll get an email or they'll get a call from DOS. This does not affect student status. What's your advice to this person? Do not travel. It doesn't affect their current status, but if they travel and try to get a new visa, it ain't going to happen for a while.
We've had several folks that got put in removal based on that. When the visa, and it was just upon charges, not even conviction. And conviction would not have rendered removable anyways. But
you said there was another caveat to that. It was something beyond just charges. There was something... remember we discussed this, and I said, oh, that's why they got put in
the visa got revoked.
The visa got revoked.
221,
yeah.
221.
So the visa has to be revoked. You're not going to get put in removal for just being charged with a crime generally.